Purgatory mystic Maria Sim reveals the virtue that, as she says, is the greatest weapon against evil. She also says that it will reduce greatly your purgatory and, in fact, help you skip purgatory completely. So this virtue is incredibly important. So not only does she reveal it and tell a story about us to help us understand it, but I will also reveal from Saint Benedict the 12 degrees of it, because oftentimes it is an incredibly misunderstood virtue. And even when we do understand it, we don't know how to dive more deeply into it. So now we're going to learn 12 levels of it, which is absolutely amazing. Let's get right into it. Now, so this is from the book, Get Us Out of Here. What are the means which we can take on earth to avoid purgatory and go straight to heaven? Now, I've talked about this in some videos recently, but God is wanting us to hear this again and again. She says, we must do a great deal for the souls in purgatory, for they help us in their turn. We must have much humility. This is the greatest weapon against evil. She doesn't say prayer, charity, love, fasting, the Saint Benedict medal, this scapular, holy water, exercise, salt. She could have said a lot of things, and all those things are incredible weapons against evil. She could have said exorcists. She could have said the mass, but she said humility. This is the greatest weapon against evil, against the evil one, and humility drives evil away. Now, we're going to talk about why. Why on earth and in heaven is this the greatest weapon against evil? Because there's a lot of evil here. Now listen to this, because this will inspire you to pray more for the souls in purgatory, and it shows a type of humility. I cannot resist telling you a very lovely testimony of Father Berlioz, who wrote a wonderful book on the souls in purgatory. I think you can search that up and you can find that, concerning the help offered by these souls to those who relieve them by their prayer and sufferings. He tells the story of a person particularly devoted to the poor souls who had consecrated her life to their relief. At the hour of her death, she was attacked with fear by the devil, who saw her at the point of escaping from him. It seemed that the entire abyss was united against her, surrounding her with its infernal troops. The dying woman struggled incredibly for some time, when suddenly she saw entering her apartment a crowd of unknown people of dazzling beauty, who put the devil to flight and, approaching her bed, spoke to her with the most heavenly encouragement and consolations. With her last breath, in great joy, she cried, "Who are you? Who are you, please? You do so much good to me." The benevolent visitors replied, "We are the inhabitants of heaven, whom your help has led to beatitude, and we in our turn come in gratitude to help you cross the threshold of eternity and rescue you from this place of anguish to bring you into the joy of the holy city." At these words, a smile lit up the face of the dying woman. Her eyes closed, and she fell asleep in the peace of the Lord. Her soul, pure as a dove, presented to the Lord of Lords, found as many protectors and advocates as souls she had delivered, and recognized worthy of glory. She entered in triumph among the applause and blessing of all those she had rescued from purgatory. May we one day have the same happiness. So it was incredible humility for her to help the souls in purgatory, because you're taking time out of your busy day to help people that definitely are in need, but it still takes humility to help them. And they, in their humility, will come and help you in your moment of greatest need throughout your whole life, but especially at your death. You want that. Now, let's talk about, why is humility the greatest weapon against evil? I had to sit with this for a little bit, and it's because it's the first and the primary virtue that then leads you to have the greatest of all virtues, like the pinnacle of virtues, which is charity or divine love, loving others as God loves. Now, in a relationship, for there to be love, you first have to have safety and security. This is why God the Father is the first person of the Trinity, and men and fathers are first in families. They're the originators of families, and one of the primary jobs of a man is to bring safety into the home. Now, one way that they bring safety is through protection, through walls, through building houses. That's why most men, you know, most builders and wall builders and all builders and defenders and soldiers, most have been men. Why? Because they have this primary role of protecting so as to help you feel safe. If you don't feel safe, you will not love. And now, all those things I were describing were physical safety. Humility is a virtue that allows someone to feel emotionally safe. If the person that you are loving is not humble, you won't feel emotionally safe, and then you won't love. So without humility, you can't love. This is why the gods of old, which were really demons, no one loved them. Why didn't anyone love the gods of old? Because they weren't humble. They were prideful. So you didn't feel safe with them. You couldn't entrust your heart with them. This is why we love God and love Jesus, because he's meek and humble of heart. What does that mean? You feel safe with him. He will protect you. You can feel emotionally safe. Do you see? So it's a primary virtue. It's the first virtue that then gives birth to love. There's so many ways in which humility gives birth to the virtue of charity. This is a reason why Satan hates humility. It's that first virtue. When you have that, it's the dirt. And who's the worm of the earth? Our Lady. That's why she's soaked in humility. So when you first have that dirt, that humus, that humility, you feel safe. Then you can love. Then you can do all these other things. Then all the other virtues come out and make sense. And so in a certain way, God the Father, his first trait is humility. In other words, you feel safe with him. Then the next trait is that he loves super abundantly, precisely because of his humility. So you could say in some way that it's God the Father's first trait, his humility, just like Saint Joseph. Incredible. Now let's talk about the 12 degrees of humility from Saint Benedict. I never heard of this. This is unbelievable. I cannot believe that I had never heard of this. So these are the 12 degrees of humility. I found this because I searched up humility from St. Thomas Aquinas, who then referenced St. Benedict. St. Benedict lived before him, so you could say that he's first. So the first step or degree of humility, he calls them steps or degrees. The first step of humility is for a man or woman, for a person to always have fear of God before his eyes and never forget it. The second step is for a person not to be wedded to his own will, nor to seek to satisfy his own desires, but to carry out our Lord's word, I came from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. So to do God's will, the third step of humility is for a person out of love for God to submit himself in obedience to his superior, whoever that may be. The fourth step, now these are for monks, but we can apply them in a particular way to us as lay people. The fourth step of humility is when being obedient causes things to become hard or contrary, or even if wrongs are done to him, for him nonetheless to embrace the suffering with a quiet conscience and not to grow weary. The fifth step is for a person to hide nothing from the abbot, but rather humbly confess, so to be vulnerable. The sixth step is for a monk to be content with the lowest and most menial treatment, to be happy that you're treated as the least. The seventh is for a monk not only to pronounce with his tongue, but also in his very heart to believe himself to be the most abject and inferior to all, humbling himself to say with the prophet, "But I am a worm." Have you heard that before? From Our Lady. Yes. So that's the seventh degree of humility. The eighth degree of humility is for a monk to do nothing but what the common rule of the monastery or the examples of his seniors leads him to. So you could say, what does the family want? The ninth degree is for a monk to refrain his tongue from speaking and to be silent until a question is asked of him. So being silent, remembering the scripture where words are many, sin is not wanting. So talking a lot is not a sign of humility. The 10th step The 10th degree of humility is not to be easily moved and prompted to laughter, for it is written, a fool raises his voice in laughter. So to be have a type of seriousness. The 11th degree of humility is for a monk to speak gently, humbly, discreetly, and with few words, without laughter and without raising his voice. The 12th degree, the last one, is for a monk to not only have humility in his heart, but to show it physically for all to see, so that whether he is doing the work of God in the oratory, the monastery, the garden, on a journey or in the field, or wherever he may be, wherever he may sit, walk, or stand, let him always, with head bent down, eyes fixed upon the earth, think of himself guilty for his sins and about to be presented before the dreadful judgment of God, ever saying to himself with the publican in the gospel, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we had those 12 degrees, even just one of those degrees, even just repeating and being aware of what will I feel like when I'm before the judgment seat, saying to myself, I'm a sinner. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If we constantly had that attitude, how much closer would we be to God, to the saints? How much more effective would our service be to others? How much more we would convert people through our sharing of the faith? And even maybe just looking at us. That's why Saint Benedict is such a powerful saint, because he was absolutely humble. So was Saint Joseph. That's why he's so powerful. So was Our Lady. Jesus, obviously, God the Father. When you know him, you see just how humble he is. So my friends, in the rise of evil in the world, we see it in many ways. And the power that it holds, we must fight it with the greatest weapon that we have, which is, surprisingly, humility. I hope this blessed you in some way. Please subscribe and support the channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.